Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing you expert analysis on what the new CAP deal means for you and your farm payments.
It links nicely into our next story about the history of meat merchants of a different era, which is chronicled in a fascinating new book on the history of the Dublin cattle market just north of the River Liffey, around Prussia Street on the east side of the Phoenix Park. The market closed in the early 1970s, but at its peak in the 50s, it was the biggest livestock market in Europe. Now, a new book has been written by journalist Dr. Declan O'Brien on its history. But before we hear from Declan, Ella McSweeney visited the market, which is off Prussia Street in the area of Dublin, still known by many as Cowtown.
My name is Brian Arkins, and we're in Dublin 7, formerly known as Cowtown. In the early 80s, I purchased the land here, which was formerly the old Dublin cattle market. This, originally the cattle market was in Smithfield, and they decided then, back in the early 1700s, or the late 1700s, that the market should be moved because the people within the city were complaining of the foul smell. And they decided then, Dublin Corporation decided to move the cattle market from Smithfield out to the country. And out to the country is where?
Prussia Street,
which is formerly the city centre. The actual area got the name of Cowtown when the cattle market was formally moved up there.
Just walk down here with me, because we're in the sheds. I mean, looking up, they're beautifully constructed, but they're in probably quite a bad way now, aren't they?
It's a piece of art, actually. I, as an engineer, and I've been involved in engineering all my life, served my time, and I've worked on farms. The steel is constructed in the old form of blacksmiths, where it's all forged and riveted together. And then you have the walls, which are made up of a black stone, which would have been cut and made by stonemasons. Some of these stonemasons probably would have worked on some of the iconic buildings in the city. It's all put together by hand-skilled craftsmen.
And the steel up above us is holding up the lovely curved corrugated iron roof.
That's correct, yes. The floor is made up of slats and gullies, where when the cattle done their little you-know-what, that rolled on down into the pipes and into the gullies, and actually just probably rolled down into the Liffey. You couldn't walk next or near the Liffey with all the effluent and obviously whatever else was going down.
So tell me, if I was standing here, we'll say in the 1950s, just describe what the scene would be.
This would have been the people and the drovers moving the cattle bellowing, the dogs going, and all sorts of stuff happening. And this would have all been part of the daily routine during the auction day, which happened really twice a week.
So Wednesday was the big day, wasn't it?
Wednesday was the big day. That was the day that people took out their wallet or their pound notes or the biscuit tins, as the old farmers used to have back in the day. And yeah, the money was drawn, it was swapped, there was spitting on hands, which wouldn't happen today, obviously, with COVID. But yeah, there was a lot of wheeling and dealing. There was a lot of drinking done as well, like as a lot of the pubs here, Hanlon's Pub up on the corner there, that still has some of the iconic features of the old cattle market there preserved too as well, the hayloft. The drovers, the cattle dealers coming in from England, cards were played, money was exchanged, banter was exchanged. Yeah, it was a fun day for everybody. And then you would have had hawkers and people coming up selling their wares and tares. And most importantly, you would have had the general Joe public coming up here, because most people around this area kept a cow, a pig, a couple of chickens, and people bought them. They brought them up around the market and they were sold on the day. So everybody done a bit of bartering and a bit of selling, yeah.
And it wasn't just cattle, was it? It was also sheep as well.
Like cattle, sheep, pigs. The drovers were always on the lookout for a good dog, and if people had a couple of pups, they were brought up here.
And the pen men, I mean, they were dubs who were very good at handling
Yeah, these
animals.
Pen men, like everybody had, you know, everybody had a nickname. You would have had Snodger, Dodger. Everybody had a nickname, and people wouldn't really know them by their, actually, if you said his name is John Cavanagh, who's John Cavanagh? But Snodger. Oh, Jesus, I know Snodger. You know, everybody had a nickname. These people would have been very good at what they'd done. They would have been handed down this trade, and it would have been a trade. They would have been handed down from the grandfather to the father to themselves. And they just seen it as a way of looking after the cattle, having authority with the cattle, because a cow or a bull or a heifer is a dangerous animal. and somebody has to be in charge.
My name is Christy McLaughlin. I'm from Finglas. My father was a cattle drover. He used to leave the house in the morning time and he'd cycle to Clonay, Dunboyne, Dunshaughlin, wherever he had to bring the cattle in from, drive them in on the road and then bring them in here to the cattle market. Back so in the day.
We've just gone in together and you can see it's completely derelict now, but you can presume in your mind you have a strong memory of what it used to be like.
Unbelievable. Them men were really, I mean, it's hard to get younglers out of bed in the morning time, never mind anyway. My father was leaving the house, as I said, at 12 or 1 in the morning with the dog, his bike and the lamp and his cattle stick. And he'd have all his oil skins on and his boots and that was it. But it brings back memories to me. I get choked when I think about it now, you know. But they were hard men, you know. Yeah. They worked hard for what they had, you know. They really did.
Your dad, can you just describe what the daily work was? You say he got up at 12 o'clock at night.
12 o'clock at night to walk the roads, yeah, with the bike. And that was basically it. And then he'd go up and pick 50 head of cattle up, or 50 sheep, he'd call it.
So he was on his bike, he had his dog, and he'd go up, how long, say, from Dunboyne to here, how long would
Jesus,
it take him?
I'd be getting into the cattle market probably at about 5 in the morning.
So 5 hours?
You know, 5 hours on the road.
And like, I mean,
them men were fit. They were fit. I always remember my father stripping down, they'd talk about six packs. You know, I never knew what a six pack was. And then I look back at it now, I'd say to myself, geez, my father had a six pack, you know, when I was only 12 years of age, like, you know. But they were fit men, but they were great workers. I mean, they were great, really, and hard men, you know, hard men. The families were fed through the cattle market, you know, so, I mean, it worked for everybody around the Dublin area, you know.
This site has been sold, it's going to be apartments, but what is your vision? What's going to happen?
I'm privileged, first of all, to have worked on some iconic pieces all around the city. I've done the Luke Kelly statue, the front of Dublin Port with all of the steel, and I've worked behind walls where people would go by in a bus or a bike like yourself and myself and say, Jesus, I'd love to see what's behind there. I'd love to know the history. But to be able to save a part of Dublin history is a big thing for me, because I'm a true Dub, passionate Dub.
So you're going to take down the sheds?
We're going to take this shed down slowly, carefully, with love and tender. And we're going to put it all on the back of a trucks, and we're going to put it on a site in Clonay called Hilltop Farm. And it's going to become a horticultural centre for native plants and trees. And we hope to introduce them back to the city and to be able to feel that sense of history, just to feel that atmosphere of the Dublin cattle market, yeah.
Yeah, lovely report there from Ella. And by the way, Brian Arkins in that report, he owns BA Steel at the site of the cattle market, and they made most of the iconic modern steelworks around Dublin for the likes of Guinness and the Luke Kelly statue and so on. So some of the noise you heard there is steel manufacturing going on that site. Well, the author of The Dublin Cattle Market's Decline, 1955 to 1973, is Declan O'Brien, and he joins me from, of all places, Kilchimoff, which I'm sure is emptying out this morning. Declan, well, mostly anyway, those that are lucky to have a ticket. Will you, coming back to Dublin, Declan, describe the place and who are the main players in the Dublin cattle market scene and what were their roles?
Well, I suppose if you're talking about the Dublin cattle market, it had significance internationally, nationally and locally. Internationally, it was the link between, it was the main conduit between Ireland and Britain for the export of cattle, so that there was cattle exporters. For the city itself, it was set up to control and regulate supplies of beef into the city, so therefore you had butchers. But nationally then, it set the cattle price for the whole country for the following week, because reports from the cattle market were carried on RTE with Michael Dillon in the Farmers' Journal, by Michael Dillon as well, but also in the local papers and in the national newspapers. So the main... Sorry?
No, I was saying it was like the stock exchange of an era.
It was exactly that. And then your main buyers really were your British exporters, Irish exporters to Britain as well, who bought and sold in the market, butchers from the local shop and the local shops in Dublin, and also the meat processors from the big processors that were in the city of Dublin, like International Meats and Irish Meat Packers in Leixlip.
You know, for people travelling to Dublin today for the All-Ireland, it's not far from where they will be actually be walking up through Phibsborough, or coming up maybe from, you know, the train station, or from Aran Quay there around in behind the forecourts. That's where we're talking about, Declan. Arbour Hill, on over to Prussia Street, Manor Street. That whole area was the hive of activity.
That's exactly it. And the cattle, as your previous report has said there, came into the market. They were held in cattle parks around the city in Cabra, Finglas, and were brought into the city the night before.
And were these cattle coming from all over the country, Declan?
They were coming, they were bought in fields down the country, they were railed to Dublin. They would then be moved into these cattle parks that ring the city, and then brought into the market on the morning of the sale.
And who would buy the cattle?
The cattle then were either bought by butchers who were looking for mainly fat heifers, or store of fat cattle that was sold or purchased by people shipping to Britain. So the cattle, after being bought, they either went across the road to the Dublin City Abattoir to be killed, across the city to the various factories, or they went down the North Circular Road to North Wall to be shipped.
Mm.
And that is one of the iconic pictures, show these cattle being passing through the streets of Dublin on their way to the North Wall.
Well, from its golden era in the 1950s, the market fell into rapid decline in the late 60s, and the last cattle were traded there on the 9th of May 1973, and an RT News report broadcast in July from reporter Barry Lennan reported on that.
There will be no tears shed, no bells tolled at the closing of the Dublin cattle market, certainly not by the Dublin ratepayers who own it, since it's expected to lose about £40,000 this year. And not by the cattle trade either. It's because they've gone elsewhere with their business that the place is closing. It's just the case that the cattle market has outlived its usefulness. The Dublin butcher who used to buy on the hoof at the Dublin market now gets his meat from the wholesaler, who in turn buys at the marts throughout the country. It's anybody's guess what will be done with the 10-acre site, but after the 1st of October, it's pretty certain that the farmyard sounds in this part of central Dublin won't be heard anymore.
So that's nearly 50 years ago. So what brought about its demise, Declan?
Well, there was three things, really. There was the rise of the co-op marts and the private marts. There was the expansion in the beef industry after the Anglo-Irish Free Trade Agreement in 1965. And there was an absence of a strategic vision for the market on the part of Dublin Corporation and the sales masters, who were the auctioneers who sold the cattle in the market itself.
Yeah. And it coincided, of course, with us joining the EEC, and
it was gone before then, actually, Damien. Right. You know, it was by 1968-69, it was only selling about 700 or 800 cattle, and right, there was as many cattle being sold in Kilmallock and in Bandon and in Ball, you know,
yeah,
in regional marts.
Yeah.
So its day had passed. It had lost the stature. But also the fact that we had shifted from live cattle to export of carcass beef. In the 1950s, live cattle generated a third of the country's export, yeah, earnings. But by late 60s, that was gone.
It's a fascinating story. You've put a lot of work into it. It's the Dublin Cattle Markets Decline, 1955 to 73. It's published by Forecourts Press. How can people get it, Declan?
Well, they can get it directly through Forecourts on Forecourts' website, or they can get it from local bookshops.
All right. Well, Declan, well done on it. It's, as I said, a great read for anybody that remembers those days. Jean Hughes says here, lovely piece by Ella McSweeney on the Dublin cattle market. My granddad from Cabra was a drover and used to walk cattle from Mead to the cattle market. So it's bringing back lots of memories this morning. Declan, mind yourself down there. Enjoy the match in Kilshimagh later on. And it's great to chat to you there. That's Declan O'Brien.